Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Gaining Perspective. I'm your host, Andrea Ruckelman, here on the Life Coach Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Today's episode, being mindful in every aspect of your life. My guest today is Steve Gutman, owner of Mind Body Dynamics. He has been in the fitness and wellness industry for more than 25 years. That's a quarter of a century, Steve. That's a lot of time. He has an extensive
background. Wow, I feel ancient now.
Sorry, didn't mean to do that to you. It's just a wealth of knowledge
okay.
That you are.
It's fine.
He has an extensive background in many areas of fitness and wellness. He's a personal trainer, is into yoga, meditation, clinical hypnotherapy, and massage therapy. He has experience working with corporations, fitness facilities, yoga studios, chiropractic offices, and schools, too. In his business, he focuses on three distinct areas: physical fitness, conditioning through personal training, yoga, Pilates, and meal planning. So he covers the healing and physical recovery through massage therapy, energy therapy, and he covers stress management and mental emotional balance through meditational and clinical hypnotherapy. His passion and goal is to make a positive difference and transform people through fitness and wellness services. So as you can see, for January, we're continuing on with our Kick Your Resolution Habit. By having Steve here, we're going to talk about some changes that you can make in your life that are simple to implement and you can maintain going forward. Get into more of today's topic. I want to ask you all a few questions. Do you go about your day wondering, where did the day go? I've done so much, but I don't even know what I've done. Do you have conversations out of frustration that you wish you could have handled differently? You go back to your office, you go home, you think about it all day long. It ruins kind of the most of your day, and you're always wondering, what should you have said differently? Or how often do you find yourself in a state of frustration, irritation, or disdain? So our conversation tonight, we're going to cover how to find balance, understand how to catch yourself in a moment, some maybe quick breathing techniques, and how to learn to be present, all through some of the techniques that Steve has learned through his time dealing with all of this, and I'm really excited to have him here. So if you are interested in participating in the conversation or have questions in general about anything that Steve and I discussed, please give us a call at 646-716-9397 at any point in time. If you wish to stay anonymous and you're a Blog Talk Radio member, you could join us in the chat room and I'll read your messages out loud. And if you there are on Twitter, you can follow us at Coach Host Radio and send us some tweetable moments or things that you want to hear and use hashtag Gaining Perspective. So with all of that said, Steve, are you ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So let's start off with a very simple, basic conception. What is mindfulness, and how did you get involved in it?
Okay, let's see. According to John Kabat-Zinn, one of the most foremost authorities on mindfulness and meditation, mindfulness means paying attention in a particular way on purpose, in the moment, and non-judgmentally. It has been referred to as the heart of Buddhist meditation. I call it being present. And how did I get into it? Okay, so I'm 53 now. When I was 12, this might be a funny story, we'll see. I was in sleepaway camp, and a counselor was teaching yoga, and it looked like something interesting, and I guess I liked girls at the time, so I took the yoga class, and I got hooked. So as I got hooked into yoga, as the years went on, I also got hooked into meditation. So I've been at it for quite a long time. And mindfulness, once again, is just one avenue, basis of meditation.
I love how you're talking about that. It all started back when you were young and wanting to get closer to the girls.
Okay. Yeah, it's honest, but it's a fun story, I think.
It is, absolutely. I think, you know, at least you, it makes you aware of when you tell the story that it doesn't matter how you get involved in anything that you do. I always like to say find perseverance in life, and that's part of what you found your purpose in is when you did this and you found something that was great. It is actually more to your benefit to become someone who practices this on a regular basis as opposed to this is a way to get to know women, although that might have worked out in your life as well. So
right.
I'm
sorry, go on.
No, it's okay. Please tell your story. Yeah.
Oh, it may not have paid off as much as I wanted in that way, but it doesn't matter because I've been hooked with meditation. Yeah, definitely hooked. And the thing
exactly.
I was going to say, back to however you get into it or what you do in life, there's a yoga word, nirlith, and forgive me, I might be mispronouncing the word, but nirlithata means non-judging. So an important thing I strive for, not that I'm always perfect for that, but I think it's a healthy thing for us as we can be so critical of others and ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think more often than not, people are more judgmental about themselves than they are others, because you often hear people talk about the envy that they see in what other people do and how then they put themselves down and then they get caught up and wrapped around in what they're not doing and what could they be doing better, and you know, instead of focusing on the positives, what's great about them. So in a sense like that, let's talk about it in how do people apply this mindfulness in general, and then we'll go down into some of the more specific areas, but just a general concept.
Okay, sure. Well, and an individual can apply mindfulness in many ways. Breathing is probably the easiest and simplest way. If a person focuses on how they breathe, ideally slow, deep, steady, and through the diaphragm, then they are using mindfulness in their breathing. If a person does this, they can find themselves much more relaxed, focused, and productive. So as far as that whole thing goes, there's many, many ways for mindfulness. Whether you're talking about how you're eating, being mindful, going to the bathroom, kissing your significant other, anything, focused on your children, your friends, whether you're mindful watching a movie or you're thinking of something else instead of being focused in this great movie, whatever it is. So there's a lot of ways we can go, a lot of exercises we can do to focus on the thing we're doing at the time.
So for some that might be a little bit challenging. And so let's get into some of the very specific. So now that it's general, people say, yeah, easier said than done. And that's one of the things that I love about coaching and bringing people on the show, such as yourself, who has been practicing this for a while, but we all had to start somewhere. So let's talk about stress. Stress is the most common situation we are all in. And boy, just to share the quickest example with everybody that's listening or who listens to this recording. So today is January 23rd, and 2 days ago on January 21st in my town in New Jersey, we had a blizzard, and we got about a foot of snow. And talking about stress, that we closed on the house that morning, we also had to move into our house in the middle of a blizzard. So it was extremely stressful, and it was very easy to just start thinking about all the things that are not going right, such as the fact our movers got to the house early in the morning, but the moving company never got in touch with us to tell us when they were coming. They didn't respond to our calls, and it was just all these things just kept going wrong. And when I talk about stressful situations, that was probably one of the peak of the stressful situations when it came to moving into my new house. So as that example, let's share with people some techniques in situations where you feel you have absolutely no control over anything.
Okay, very good. Okay, so I can talk about mindfulness techniques, and I'll also throw in taking the right attitude. As my mom, who is, well, I don't think she wants me to tell people her age, but my mom is much older than myself, and she's feisty and high energy, high spirit. I always learned from my mom how to be very positive. So one thing I always look at, Andrea, is taking the right attitude. One of those quotes my mom gave me years ago was, "I cried because I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet." So I always look at it that it helps to take the attitude that things can be worse no matter what. So I strive for that. And most times I'm good. Sometimes I'm not, but most times I'm good with that. As far as techniques go, well, for one thing, going back to mindfulness, if you're focused on being mindful at the time in the particular thing you're doing, there is no room for anything else to enter your brain. So, for instance, let me ask you this, Andrea. Okay, so what's your favorite food?
Thai food.
Oh, funny. So that's mine too. Seriously. Nice. We'll have to talk about our favorite places after the show. So with Thai food, so have you ever been in a moment when you're enjoying your favorite dish in a Thai restaurant, whatever it is, and you're really in the moment and you're just savoring every single bite?
I think I do that more with chocolate.
Oh, okay.
I am a woman after all. You know what they say about women and chocolate, right?
Yes, we do, although us guys like chocolate too. Okay, so chocolate. Have you had the times when you're fully into the chocolate, totally enjoying it?
Absolutely.
Now, have you ever had times when you eat the chocolate and you think, darn, or some other word, and you ate it and you did not focus on it?
Yes. You just eat it to eat it without even realizing what you're doing, yes.
Thank you. So the whole practice of mindfulness, once again, is as much as you can focus on your breathing and being with whatever you're doing at the time. So, for instance, chocolate. When I've taught stress management, meditation to people, I get into mindfulness, and one of my exercises usually will be around eating. So whether we have carrots or chocolate or cookies, people usually pick the junk bar, and I can understand that. So I might have a person take the chocolate. So you may want to do this next time. Take the piece of chocolate to your nose. Feel the texture of the chocolate within your hands. Take in the aroma with your eyes closed. And taking your next bite, just slowly chewing that, slowly, very slowly, breathing between every bite so that it becomes dissolved, digested, so that it's like water in your mouth. So that would be, say, a mindful exercise with eating food, say chocolate. And now to get a contrast, say you ate a piece without being mindful, thinking of other things, you'll see a difference. What I find most people observe when they're eating or anything else, and I know it's for me, it's more vivid. It's more vibrant. Whatever you're doing is more enjoyable because there's no other outside distractions. Want me to go on with that?
No, I'm just sitting here thinking I'm really in the mood to eat a piece of chocolate just the way you described it. And I think that is great, you know, in the concept of people starting to think about to slow down and be able to do something that they enjoy. And what does each step of that mean for them when they're in the process of doing that? How do you correlate that story with maybe whatever your favorite food is, how do you correlate it to when they're in a very stressful environment and situation that they can apply the same practice?
Good question. Well, it's a case of the more conscious you are of it, finding your way to do it, the more you practice it, the more it's usually more within the surface of your brain and body and breath, you're more aware of it. I've tried other things. My best friend has busted my chops. I have a little note on the dashboard of my truck saying breathe. And I don't usually pay attention to it. Sometimes I do. So I'll just have little reminders here and there. I'll take my time to practice my regular meditation practice during the day. As far as mindfulness goes, it just goes back, Andrea, to the more you can keep yourself aware and observant. I find with me, if I'm getting stressed, if I'm not exactly relaxed, not always, but many times, I'm to the point where I really pick up on my breathing and thinking, I'm not breathing. If I'm breathing through my diaphragm, then I'm fine. So the more you can be conscious of it, once again, I'd say it's kind of like the analogy, it's like working your muscles, but another way, the more you work out, as I know you're avid with your workouts yourself, the person will become, they'll gain muscle memory. They'll be more plugged into the exercise and how it feels and how it doesn't feel when they don't do it. Same thing with mindfulness. When it comes to stress, usually the better you are is reflected upon how often you're doing it. So the more you're plugged into your mindfulness, when you're not, it's like you may get the vibe, something's wrong here. What's missing? And, I'm not being mindful. Because if I am, I'll be fine.
That's very interesting because, you know, I think about, you know, the whole just breathing. There are a couple of things. And not everybody that's listening does yoga. But I've finally, after several attempts of trying to get into yoga, have finally found it something I really enjoy doing. The mindful meditation of just breathing and all of that kind of stuff was always challenging for me. And lately, whenever I'm very stressed, I find it something as now my go-to of, you know what, and I always say this to people, I need to go get my namaste on. So it's kind of like that it actually, in one of the, anytime they ask me, set your intention. My only intention is just breathe. And as I was going through all these stressful events early on Tuesday morning, my sister was asking me, you know, how things are going, and I'm giving her the laundry list of things that are challenging us, and her first response to me was, just breathe. And I'm sure that people are listening are thinking the same thing, like how many times has someone said to them, just breathe, take a deep breath, count to 10, just relax, you know, and it's always the first thing that you hear from people whenever you're stressed or wound up. And the way I always think about it now that I do differently then is the concept of pay attention to your breathing. You know, you can slow yourself down. You can really learn to understand, you know, your heart rate, your tension. And one of my favorite things that goes on in the yoga class is when they say, let's relax, take your tongue off the roof of your mouth, because all of a sudden, you instantly notice that you're gritting your teeth. You know, there's all this tension in there. But the moment they say something that revolves around your mouth, is you start to let it go. So I think with the breathing, it's that aspect. Start breathing. Start recognizing in yourself where things are. Now, it may happen. You may not be able to do it right away. It's something that you could look on and start thinking, oh, I wonder if this would have really helped. But in that moment, take a moment and just see how it works. You know, sometimes we replay things in our head. Replay it, but let it go. You know, just work on the breathing through some of this stuff. And I think that you have a great opportunity for those that are around you to really start seeing some of the differences. Because the way that I handled this situation with moving, I didn't panic. I didn't freak out when I made a phone call to my realtor explaining the situation that our movers were here before we closed. And I just said, I just need people to remain calm around me because even though the situation is out of our control, we will come to a good conclusion in the end. You know, we're still going to end up moving in. We're still going to close on this house. It's all going to happen. Things just are a little bit off because of the snow, and it worked out just fine. Everybody was very helpful, very supportive. The people that we were buying the house from were just absolutely wonderful. So I really kept thinking that entire time during that process that it really was important for me to just focus on the only things that were in my control, and one of them was how mindful I am in the moment and just breathe. So that's my story to share with you through that. But it was really, I think, perfect and fitting to have you here today on the show as part of this whole kick the resolution habit and really just discuss things that affect everybody in their everyday life. So let's take away stress. So if we move from stress, mm-hmm. one of the other things that people do when they're stressed is make poor nutrition choices.
And
I think that this is a great segue into start talking about some of that nutrition, minus the chocolate, because some chocolate's good for you. So let's talk about when you are in a situation and you're looking at the food, you're looking at the menu, and that heavy dish of pasta sitting there staring you in the face, or, you know, the very high calorie, and it looks so much more scrumbly-umptious than a salad with chicken in it. How can people use mindfulness to make the healthier choice?
Okay, good question. Well, first of all, I guess it goes back to, as you're talking about breath, and I discussed it earlier, it goes back to the breath a lot. I find that the more you can be focused on your breathing, notice how your belly goes in and out, diaphragm, then you get a greater state of calm. It's a case of being conscious of what your choices are, what you have there. Being kind to yourself, being objective without being so critical. When you have the choice of what you have there, the more relaxed you are, the more mindful of to your options, the easier it is going to be to make the right choice. So if I have, let's say, a big greasy cheeseburger, or I have a nice salad, let's say salmon in it. Well, in the case if I'm more tuned into how I'm feeling, I'm more plugged in probably to how am I going to feel after the cheeseburger as opposed to the salad. The cheeseburger will taste great, but then after I may not feeling so well. Where the salad, I might feel a little lighter. So it helps to be conscious of what is the goal you want, what is the desired outcome you want from what you eat. Is it aligned with how you're feeling? So I look at that. So being conscious, being aware in the moment of what you're deciding upon.
You know, it's interesting because I am very aware of this type of thought process when it comes to food choices. And mm-hmm. I am probably the guiltiest party of saying, Do I want Thai food because my favorite dish is a very greasy noodle dish, or do I want something more that's healthy? And I still will go with the greasy dish over something else because I know how great it tastes. And I find myself challenged in the sense of saying, okay, I know that this is going to add, you know, some unhealthiness to my body. I come to get Thai food because this is my favorite dish and there's a reason why I come and choose to have this instead. And the process of trying to be mindful in that set before going to choose that type of food is as opposed to going somewhere else and really sticking to my guns. So it's the whole concept of, you know, feeling like it's all or nothing. And I don't want people thinking that nutrition choices are an all or nothing thing, that there are options that you have, but you do choose to go and get that. Now, do you feel guilty afterwards, or do you feel okay with yourself? So I like to think about being mindful in the afterthought, the after the experience, and pay attention to that. How do you feel about that?
Well, I look at that as one, well, one thing I look at, Andrea, it's funny, where I'm, okay, me as a on the trainer end, I eat extremely well majority of the time, and I'm really diligent, very dedicated, probably a little obsessed with my workouts. At the same time, I take the, say, the 90-10 or the 80-20 rule, where, okay, if you're good, you can afford to goof off, be a little bad here and there. And I'm one, I'll never have an issue when people are having the junk or all the things. So if you're going through that, hey, cool, enjoy it. My concern is more that people are going to be guilty, feel guilty about it, because then why do it? If you're having junk, you might as well just enjoy it, connect to the inner child, totally have a blast with it, whatever it is. So that greasy dish that you love, good for you. But then if you're going to feel guilt over it, just take the acknowledgement that, okay, I am doing this, I'm rewarding myself, I'm savoring it, and I'll make a healthier choice next time. And you move from there the best you can. I think it's very counterproductive if we take the guilt along with the junk. Then, you know, to me, it's just a waste of time to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think guilt is one of the things that people really start associating with it. It's emotion. And it's that emotion that really relates to these choices.
Well, you're right. It's funny, when I've done hypnotherapy with people around eating, so much comes up. I know for myself, things come up. And for people, that's one of those hot buttons. So what do you do in that regard? And relating to the emotion of what you're eating and how you're eating, where you're eating, they all can tie into what's going on in your life and how you cope or how you don't cope. As we all know that, hopefully this won't get me in trouble. I think of the one or two movies I've seen, girly flicks, I don't know, where there's the upset and the woman is eating a carton of ice cream. Delving into that. So with it all, how do you react? Are you going to be upset and jump into that food, or are you going to jump down, do some push-ups, do some exercise or meditation? How are you going to handle your anxiety, your stress, your upset, your happiness, whatever's going on?
Yeah, I think it's funny. The chick flicks are what they're typically called. There's actually a movie coming out or something soon about guys doing the same exact thing that women do. So,
So you'll have to tell me what that is, and I'll catch it.
There you go. I don't know what it is, but it was just really funny because one of the promos for the movie was a guy saying, "She broke up with me. I need to go get ice cream." And that was just, you know, the whole thing. And so it was just really funny, but we digress. And the whole, it's so true. Nutrition is tied to emotion. And so many people talk about they're emotional eaters. Oh, I'm a boredom eater. Well, why is, if you're bored, food is the first thing you want to do instead of do some form of exercise, or you want to go to the junk food over the healthy food? Oh, I need a salty snack. I want chips. You know, I need something sweet. I want chocolate, as opposed to maybe a handful of nuts or some carrots or peppers or an apple or something to that effect. It's just the consciously of changing it, saying this is going to taste good in the moment, but in about 20 minutes I'm going to start saying I shouldn't have done that. And do I want to spend the time beating myself up, or do I want to spend the time feeling good, vibrant, and alive? So those are
exactly.
Those
yeah, are you're going to have the. Are you going to have the foresight at the time? So it's really it's that awareness. I say this as a person who, once again, I'm usually good, but most people who know me know that I have a really horrendous sweet tooth. So I can love, yeah, depending what it is, but sweets. Oh, yeah, that's last night with the snow. My son, we went to the supermarket yesterday, and hey, Dad, let's get some slice and bake. Oh, and Andrea, they were so good. And I know that I knew afterwards I was not going to feel so good. So, okay, here we go, and then it's back to the drawing board. You know, without judgment. And I had used the word nirlakata before about not judging. So it's just that whole thing that much as we can to be non-critical and non-judgmental, we need to be kind to ourselves. That's a case about mindfulness, meditating, living your life to the fullest. Life's too short. So I think it's an important thing to cultivate a sense of self-worth and appreciation of what you're all about. Each
absolutely.
And every person.
No, absolutely. I mean, the judgment thing of the last person you should ever judge is yourself. And but before we continue on, I just want to remind our listeners that you can call in and talk to us at 646-716-9397 if you have any thoughts or you want to challenge anything that we're talking about here this evening. And just so you know, some of the things that are coming up on Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow at 12 p.m. is your 30-something coach, and she's going to be talking to you about rebooting your resolution, since you all make them, regardless of I say, kick the resolution habit, but she's going to help you keep you on track. So that's really a wonderful thing. And then on Monday at 8 p.m., we have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. So tune in those days. And our next show of Gaining Perspective will air on February 13th. But before we continue, I have some exciting news to share with everybody about the host of the Life Coach Radio Networks are hosting a workshop weekend. And I'm about to play a little promo intro to it, so I'm pretty excited for this. This is the first time I'll be playing it, and just let's tune in for the next minute and see how it goes. And play.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the founder, executive producer, and host here on the Life Coach Radio Networks. We're having a huge event in New York City that I want to tell you about. It's our first ever workshop weekend. 15 of us will be giving a variety of self-empowerment workshops on Saturday, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th in the heart of the Big Apple. We'll have seminars on stress, spirituality, success, divorce, living your best life, and a lot more. If you're interested, go to lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. We'd love to see you there. And now, back to today's show.
Oh, that was awesome. Well, yours truly will be a part of the Life Coach Radio Network weekend, and I will be presenting on February 10:30 in the morning. My presentation is called Focusing on How You Say It, the Power of the Words We Use and How It Affects the Outcomes of the Goals We Set. You know, we're always talking to ourselves about how we want something in life, whether it's a personal fitness goal, like we're talking about tonight in mindfulness, a relationship, a promotion or a raise, new car, new job, new house. I could go on for the list forever because we're always wanting something new. But these are the what's in life that we always talk about, and usually how we talk about it to ourselves will reflect how successful we're going to be at achieving it. So I want you to think about some of the words that you use right now and let me know if this applies to you and come join me at my workshop. You know, it's my dream to own a home. I would love to have that car. I need to get in shape. I probably won't get that promotion. I'm not sure they're going to hire me. I'm not sure if he or she is even interested in me. So think about it. If you find yourself using these words more often, the I need to, I wish, I probably won't, I'm not sure, you know, that's not the way we go into obtaining our successful goals. So how successful do you want to be in 2014? And if this is how you want to say it, well, then come to my seminar. I'm focusing on how you say it and how the powerful words that you were using, not only with others, but with yourself too. So I want you to learn how to influence, motivate, and change the way you reach your personal and interpersonal goals. You'll have several things that you'll walk away with. You know, you'll learn to catch yourself using that negative influence, understand why you're using it, and how to change it for consistent, successful outcomes. So now is the time to truly take control of your own life instead of waiting for it to happen to you by some outside force. So that's what we have going on, and I'm really excited about this workshop. So again, you can go to lifecoachradionetworks.com, and on the homepage is the link to sign up for it. So, okay, thank you for that time, Steve, and I just want to be able to kick back in with some of this stuff. You know, we're talking about nutrition and what goes hand in hand with nutrition, but exercise, right?
Right.
So let's talk about how we can be mindful in any type of exercise that we do, not specifically yoga or anything like that, but how you apply it in all your personal training and other aspects. And, you know, do me a favor to caveat this. Tell about all the different types of training that you do so people have an idea that you're not just focused on one area specifically.
Sure. Okay, so let me mention, like, my background with, let's say, Western approach to working out, weights and all of that. So I got into yoga when I was age 12. My older brother got me into weight training when I was 16. So I got very hooked into it. And that led to me getting into all types of cardiovascular exercise as well. So we get to the present time where I've been weightlifting, working out since age 16, yoga since age 12. As far as what I do as a trainer and as a person who works out, Andrea, I go really the gamut from weights, traditional steel or iron weights, all of that, to getting into other things such as body weight training, whether you're talking about pull-ups or people know dips, plenty of push-ups. People are familiar with the TRX, which if you're not, be sure to Google TRX. Better to just look into it. I could explain it, but might as well take the time yourself so I can discuss other things. So I get into traditional resistance training, body weight training. There's many other techniques I incorporate. There's something called Tabata, which is a great Japanese technique. It's, let's say, a very intense where you're going, it's 4 minutes. You're going 20 seconds as intense as you can go with whatever you're doing, say running in place or push-ups. Then you take a 10-second rest, and you go through the same thing for 4 more cycles. So that's something really superb. And I bring in many other things. So I incorporate many Western approaches, balance balls, kettlebells. I bring a few CrossFit things in, if people are familiar with CrossFit. I integrate a lot of things, but then on the other end of the spectrum, I might bring in yoga, Qigong, Tai Chi, other things. There's even something you get a little workout from it. It's called Brain Gym I'm trained in, which is more technology for brain development. So incorporating that, I believe in really incorporating the whole body as well as the brain. You tie everything in as much as you can. So that's where I'm at. As far as mindfulness goes, not everybody's into it when I train them, although the clients who do go for it really love it. I call it my inner workout, and the inner workout can be applied to whether you're working out with yoga or weights, taking aerobics or anything. Or let's say if you're taking aerobics with the music on in a class, it may lose a little bit in the element. Let me explain it. So if I'm working out, say I'm doing something like a bench press. I might be lying on the bench there. Before I go for it, I'll have my eyes closed. I visualize myself, mentally rehearse a number of times, me taking the weights, taking the bar in my hands, and taking the bar down to my chest with an inhalation, exhale, bringing back up, and visualizing muscles within my chest, muscles within my triceps, my back, any muscles that are being used for the workout, for that particular exercise, expanding, blood circulating through them, developing. Then I'll go down for an inhalation, and I visualize the relaxation phase. Then it's an exhalation back up. And I'm going to continue with this, keeping my focus, my intention, and attention into the exercise. In my old days, I remember years ago, I might be blasting Led Zeppelin and having more an intense in reference to the workout, the way I'm doing it. I might bump my head into the workout bar, nothing like days of my 20s doing a workout. But then what I learned over the years is by taking a more mindful approach, the one I explain with breathing in and out and my eyes closed and focused just on that, I get a better workout. I'm more intense. Every ounce of me is focused on each and every inhalation, every exhalation, each exertion, every part of that. So besides the fact that I'm focused there, I find, and I have a great pump, I also find I'm more relaxed afterwards. So it's a phenomenal way to work out. And also doesn't hurt as much as my head into the bar, like as I did my days in my youth.
You know, it's. I love that you are talking about deep breathing and how you're talking about visualizing it as you're doing the workout. One of the things that I often talk to people in the gym if you're working out with a partner, and I always find myself saying, breathe, just breathe. People hold their breath and hold it in, and sometimes get frustrated or they don't really enjoy the workout or get the fullness of it. And breathing is so essential to having a good workout, both for functionally and for your mind to be able to walk out of there and say that was good and not, you know, overdo it and be a part of it. And you mentioned
right. You know, you remind me of a memory years ago. First time my best friend, I was teaching yoga class, and he met my girlfriend at the time. I'm teaching yoga class, and she's in the class. It's the first time he took it. And we're doing some stretches, and I kept saying to people, breathe, breathe, breathe. And he's got pale skin, so hopefully he'll remember this. Hopefully he's listening to this. It was hysterical as he's turning beet red this entire time. And I kept saying to breathe, and he was doing anything but. I had a good time really kidding him about it afterwards. But meanwhile, yeah, it's so key. It is so key.
And a couple of the other things that you talked about, TRX, one of the most amazing new workouts that I've discovered and just really enjoy it. It's amazing if you take the time. Again, it goes along with breathing. So people that are afraid to go to a gym or anything like that, Steve is right. Look it up, and you could actually purchase one and have it in your house. It is absolutely incredible what your own body weight and resistance can do for you as long as you're breathing through the exercises. It's absolutely insane how sore you can be and get a good workout from a TRX band and just using your own body weight. So I found that only a couple months ago, and I get excited every chance I can go and take a class that has the TRX in addition to doing it on my own.
The Tabata, sure. Go ahead. Our only other thing I was going to say, relating to the body weight training, I mean, one of my first loves as far as workouts go, I still love benching, although I'm not getting up the weight like I did a while ago, but I love benching, bench pressing. At the same time, if you take bench pressing, you cannot compare the benefits of benching to push-ups. Push-ups, mm-hmm. You get the core in, as everyone talks about core now, gets a whole body involved. You're getting the chest, the back, the core, once again, the abs and low back have to be stabilizers. You get your legs in a bit. It's great. So it's a really nice way to go. So you think about the body weight training. It really, ideally, it's nice to be open to all of it because there's so many great ways to go with all of this. And I love training people and working out with, you know, the variety. Keeps me moving, and you want variety. And TRX,
yeah,
once again. Yeah,
absolutely.
Good stuff.
One of the things that I hate the most, and I don't want to go off on a tangent too much about just a workout, it's only just your body, and it's one of the best moves that works your entire body, but I hate it with a passion, is a burpee.
Burpees are beautiful.
I
should get a shirt like that.
So
burpees are beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they're very good.
You coined that term. Burpees are beautiful. You folks heard it here first. So,
there we go.
This is really great. I love in the direction that we're going. So we talk about stress. We talked about how it relates to nutrition, and we talked about when it comes to nutrition, it's nutrition and exercises. And one of the most other important aspects of our lives, when it's mindfulness, breathing, and different situations that we get into, that we start paying attention to ourselves, is our relationships with the people that we have around us, whether it be love interests, it's work relationships, it's friendships, it's anything of the sort, relationships in general, mindfulness, and communication. Talk to us about that.
I think that's if you take the stats on reasons for divorce and marital discord, am I saying that right? When you're dealing with issues with relationships, that's one of those huge, huge factors in things not working out. People not communicating, not willing to communicate, but also people being on a different wavelength, not communicating the same to each other. So the more you can be plugged in to how the other person operates around communication, the better it is. If you're a screamer, Andrea, when you communicate, and I need things quiet, we're not going to get too far. Same thing if we were to reverse that. So it's a case of being conscious of how you both communicate and making your effort to have that right. So that's really important. Being conscious of that comes back to, once again, breathing, but eye contact, all the nuances. What are you going to do so that you are communicating effectively? Is your heart open? And we can get into that whole talk on that for hours and hours, right, about keeping an open heart as opposed to closed. Is your heart open? Is your mind open when you're communicating? Or are you, once again, somewhere else? Do you want to be there? What's your intention? My older brother, who's a successful management consultant, has his own company, very successful. His favorite saying is, the proof is, look at that. Is that a Freudian slip? The result is the proof of your intention. So Where's your intention at when you're communicating with somebody? Where's your focus at?
And sometimes
and are
you
going
find
to listen to the person as well as share what you have to say?
And I think too often what usually happens is in relationships and communication, when you find yourself arguing a lot, it's no longer about what the situation is. It's about who's right, who's wrong, and in situations where it's an argument. Or if you're working towards building something and partnering well on it, is understanding how to communicate to each other. And when your communication gets lost, your message gets lost, you communicate in a way that you perceive. And so to really start paying attention in the ability of the thought process of mindfulness, when you start paying attention to the way others receive, you learn how to talk to them the way that they learn how to receive the messages, and then your communication can grow tremendously. And it was an exercise I had gone through quite some time ago that I woke up to understanding of, explain it the way I understand, as opposed to understanding the way they take information in, such as, do people need audio, visual? Do you have to draw something out for them? Do they need to process it? Do you have to give landmarks to somebody when giving them directions versus go, you know, such and such a number of miles? So it's just about the ability to communicate with others. And so that's the way I always see it, as mindfulness in relationships. Would you agree?
I would. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely.
We're closing in on towards the end of the show. So there's a couple of topics I want to hit here before we wrap up the show. And so I'm going to skip ahead to a couple of thoughts that I had here about when we're talking about mindfulness and the meditation and the slowing down. Can you just talk about, for those who say they can't meditate because their brain is going a million miles a minute, as I like to call it, the head chatter that's happening. So people who say they have head chatter cannot meditate. Can you address that a little bit and just explain the slow process of going into how you can start to practice and allow the head chatter to be there?
Yeah, sure, definitely. Well, first of all, I think I'm one of the charter members of the Head Chatterers of America group. So with
I'm
me,
your vice
I'm
president.
I'm sorry?
Oh,
you're the president?
I'm your vice president.
Oh, very cool. Nice. Excellent. I'm honored. So with that, let's say that when I got into the yoga, it was a case of a boy who was interested in the girls and thought the yoga was interesting. And one of the biggest things I came away with was this person, me, this boy with ADD, really found a way to help me focus. So as far as it goes, it's possible for anyone to meditate. It may not be easy for everyone, but it is possible. It's a case of being patient with it, being non-critical once again, because the more critical we are, the more we beat ourselves up, the harder it is to achieve anything. So ideally, there's a lot of hints for meditation. Ideally, one of those things to think about is you need to learn how to relax your body. It helps to sit in a comfortable, steady position for meditation. Now, we could say relaxation is lying down, so ideally meditation is more sitting, unless you're doing a moving meditation and you're standing, doing something else. But with meditation, it's ideal to be in a sitting position. It helps to make an awareness of your breathing and make your breathing very serene and relaxed. Also helps to witness objects traveling in the train of your mind. So observation is very, very big. It helps to inspect, kind of look at the quality of your thoughts, and learn to promote or strengthen those which are positive and helpful in your growth. Let's say beyond that, if a person's meditating, and there's many techniques I could always show people and explain to them, teach them, and there's enough books out there, there's a lot of sources of it. But ideally, say you're seated in meditation, you have to decide, is it Vipassana meditation you're going on? Are you going to just stay focused in the breathing, the sound of your breathing, the awareness of your belly moving in and out? Might it be a candle meditation, which is my son's favorite way. So my 10-year-old son, Dylan, we've been meditating lately, and he's really getting into it. And he has his special challenges, but he's really enjoying it. He loves to keep his eyes on a candle. Is a person meditating to the sound of nature? Are you meditating to the sound of music? Bubble meditation is a technique where you visualize, you know, the bubbles, the captions around words in the comics. So say you're sitting there. Every time you have a thought when you're sitting, eyes closed, you visualize a bubble around that word, and as the word travels away, you keep yourself clear. And any time a thought comes up, you just let it go. So with meditation, it helps to be in a quiet place, same place all the time, same time if possible, comfortable. It might be good to do some yoga or just move around a little so you're loose, because the more comfortable you are, the better. If possible, an empty stomach so you're feeling more stable, lighter, helps you to be more aware. Those are a lot of hints. You might be with the legs crossed. There's a few different positions you can do that with. Or kneeling. Ideally, your hands could be resting on your knees, and there's a few different positions for your hands. Usually it's fingers touching. You could have the hands, palms facing up or down. But there's different techniques. And one thing when I'm teaching people meditation is, we may try on types of meditation like Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City is trying on shoes. So if those who are not aware of that show from a while ago, you're simply going to try different techniques till you see the one that works best for you. Hopefully that
That's
answered
great.
Your question.
Thank you. I know, that really, that was great. And there are so many different ways, and it's just a matter of people trying until they find what works for them. And even if you only start with 2 minutes, and you start with 2 minutes and build it. Well, that's our show for tonight, everybody, and I appreciate you very much, Steve, for being a part of it. This has been extremely helpful and extremely knowledgeable, everything that you shared, and I really enjoyed our conversation. So if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share in this last minute that we have, please do, and also share with our audience how they may get in touch with you.
Okay, very good. Let's see. A few thoughts. Well, like you were saying earlier, and it is a case, my real focus on mind-body dynamics is making a difference in people's lives, helping them to transform so they can be the most productive, the best, the healthiest and happiest they can be in whatever ways. So it's all great for me, whether it's training people, getting into meditation, helping them eat right, or something else, whether I'm working with an adult, a child, senior citizen, a person with disabilities. And then besides that, let me say that life's short. You never know how long we're around for. It's just so important to let go of things, really squeeze the marrow out of life. Just enjoy every single moment. That's real key. As far as reaching me, there's a few ways. My email address is mbddenvillenj@gmail.com. So that's M like Mike, B like boy, D like dog, then the town Denville, DenVille, NJ@gmail.com. My website, which is, I guess websites are always under construction, is Mind, M-I-N-D, Body, B-O-D-Y, Dyn, D-Y-N, .com. You know, always reach. I'll even give my business line, 973-664-0142. And I'm connected in Denville, so I have a facility in Denville. I do some work through a massage facility in Parsippany, and I'm in the process of looking for other sites. So I have one or two I'm looking at right now. So you can do that. Also, let me give you a plug for something coming up. It's called Ramp Up Your Resolutions, and it's on is it March 2nd? I'm trying to recall the date. But it's 67 East Park Place, Suite 800, 1776, on the Green in Morristown. And the date, which I can tell you, is Saturday, March 8th. Goes 8:45 to 1 p.m. So if you have any questions, you could always reach me on that. But we have a superb life organizer who's involved with that, Deborah Grusoff. We have a person, Lori Linewalt, who's a life coach. Can we do these plugs like this?
Yeah, I'm sure that there are a lot of great people, but we are out of time for today. So if people could, we'll make sure we get that information out for people and where they could get the info. So that's in Morristown, New Jersey, if you're local to the tri-state area. If you're somewhere across the country or in another country, maybe you want to think about taking a trip to beautiful New Jersey. So again, Steve, thank you for being a part of this, and I'd like to thank all of our listeners. I hope you really enjoyed the past hour and you found it engaging, enlightening, and are now on a path to getting to where you want to be in life. If you have any suggestions you'd like to hear for on Gaining Perspective, you could reach me at Andrea@NewPerspectivesCommunication.com, or you could reach me on Facebook at NewPerspectivesCommunication.com, and we'll get something out there. Until the next time, have a great night. Take care.